Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Sherry, who's here to speak with us about Sunday's workshop, Practicing with Zen Stories. Welcome, Sherry.
Well, thank you, Anna. It's great to be with you.
Thanks for being here. Where would you like to start?
Well, the reason that I asked if I could do this, it's twofold. Okay, so you'll help me stay focused on the fact that there are two points that I want to make. The first one is the specific of Sunday's workshop. And then because not everybody in Sangha who might be listening to this attended Sunday's workshop, I would like to make it more universal than the specific. So as you know, because you were at Sunday's workshop, what we had the opportunity to do is to have Zen stories, parables, read to us, and then we were invited to see how that particular focus had shown up in our lives. So what was our experience of each of those, right? That was the question that we got to answer with each one of those. And which was breathtaking. I mean, some of the insights that people had were truly just breathtaking, right? Would you agree?
Wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was stunning. And of course, I love Zen stories for the same and people's experience of them for the same reason that I love quotes, right? Because what happens is, if it's a good quote, and you know, and we're present and that sort of thing, it takes us to a direct experience of presence.
Yes.
Now, we might not think about it that way, but that's what happens. And we have one of those moments of, I mean, I did sound effects with that, but we might not actually do. But there's that, moment of recognition that,
yes.
That yes, exactly like that. Yes, and then you know, if somebody said, "So, what just happened?" We would probably start talking about the quote, and go up into our head and try to describe why we were. But that's not what happened. We had a direct experience of presence, and that particular quote took us there. Right when we read that. So the Zen stories can do the same thing for us, to just take us to an experience of, in this case, authenticity or presence or however we want to talk about it. And it's like it's kind of like koan practice, right? Where there may be one of the stories that we hear, we read, and we think, you know, I don't really get that. And yet, if we stay with it, if we keep just being open to what that has for us, the wisdom that's there for us, then over time, we will move into a place of having a direct experience of that. It'll come together. So on the morning show, we were talking about, I was quoting that insight needs experience. Intuition needs experience, right? And so that's what we're doing. And one of the callers was talking about how she is practicing all the time, and then she'll be in a difficult place or something, and a piece of wisdom will just come to her that resolves whatever that was, brings her into the presence, and whatever that difficulty is just falls away in that clarity. And so I wasn't able to unmute myself at the end of the call, for which I, or at the end of the workshop on Sunday, for which I was really grateful, because I would just interrupted the flow of it with beep, 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 beep. But if I had interrupted, what I wanted to say to people is something along those lines. You know, stay with this. Mm-hmm. Stay with it. Because what people reported was the clarity that they had. So maybe it's compassion. So when have you chosen compassion over ego, just to make it simple? when in your life has that happened? And people would recall, it would drop in times when that happened for them. And what I wanted to say to people is, stay with it. You know, don't let this just be a Sunday workshop and then it fades away and then you never think about it again. But keep going back and listen to it again. Get that question again and look for your experiences, because they'll drop in. That's what makes it like koan practice, right? Because they're all there, all the times that I was kind or I was patient or I was compassionate or whatever. They're all there. It's just that for most of us, ego won't let us recall those. But if we stop for a moment and we're open to it, then we will have access to that, right? Yes. And so that was the specifics of the workshop on Sunday, which was just, I have enjoyed every workshop that we've had on Sunday. The different topics and the exercises and it takes me back to the person talking about being in practice as much as possible, so that's where attention is, and that creates that opening for wisdom, for the intelligence, for authenticity to speak to us, to guide us in that way. And then beyond that, for everybody who wasn't in the Sunday workshop, to apply those principles. So to realize what we practice is what we have. And so if I am practicing being here and paying attention, being open to being guided, then I'm really increasing my chances of being open and being guided. If I'm lost in a conversation in my head, my chances really go down. That's basically it. Did I get to the 2 points, Anna?
I think so, beautifully. Yes. Yeah. And what I was hearing that is making ourselves available, right?
So yes.
Turning to the authenticity, so that the authenticity can drop in those examples.
Precisely. Because they are there for us.
Yes.
It's just, it's the forest and the trees, sort of, but not really. So I live in great physical beauty around me, trees and right now a lot of smoke, but most of the time trees and blue skies and birds and squirrels and deer and all those things. But if I were here, and my attention was on a conversation in my head about something that was wrong, I would miss all of that. Right? It's not that it wouldn't be there.
Yes.
I just wouldn't notice that it was there. And that's what's happening to us all the time. And that's what we circumvent when we are giving more of our attention to this here now. And what brings us to this here now, of course, is practice. And, of course, that's the reason that ego is so adamantly opposed to our practicing any more than we just absolutely have to, because it takes away from ego's ability to distract us from what is really true, to close that aperture so that wisdom and compassion is not available to us, is not apparent to us. And when that opening is closed, then we're much more willing to believe what ego tells us about who we are than when that opening is open and we're getting direct information about who and how we are.
Yes, direct information about who and how we are. Yes, what's true. And I was seeing, as you were saying that, I just had an image of picking up the recorder. You know, as I know for me in the workshop, when we were invited to look for those examples, allow those examples to drop in, picking up the recorder and pressing record is such a kind of direct signal, a physical concrete tool, a physical concrete way of turning to that authenticity. It's like life, I'm available, I'm pressing record, I'm here, I'm listening, right?
Yes, Yes, and that's such a great point. When we do that, and if we do it with patience, right, which yes. was the enthusiasm for don't just let this go, stay with it, mm-hmm. keep asking those questions yes. and being open in that way. When we pick up the recorder, we hit record, if we're patient, if we're open to life dropping in the guidance for us, you know, even if it means I sit there for 3 minutes with the recorder on record and, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying anything, that's perfectly fine because what I'm doing is positioning myself to receive the clarity. And if I'm patient and if I make myself available, it will be there.
Yes. Yep.
It's the old, if we build it, they will come.
Yes, and the seek and you shall find. It's such a whole yes. kind of attitude of mind and heart I heard you describe, and it just mirrors my experience so perfectly of that patience available. I'm here, I've pressed record, and I'm patiently yes. listening. It's a yes. whole experience yes. of turning to authenticity and making that the yes. primary relationship. This is what I'm...
That's exactly it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, again, on the morning show, when we talk about, right now, we're talking about duality, and if I am caught in one side of a duality, there's this going on, and if I stop and say, okay, well, that's one side of a duality or a problem or an issue or a conversation or whatever it is, what's the opposite of that? Already I am positioned where I want to be practicing awareness. I don't have to have any kind of answer about anything, right? I will get an answer. I will see what is the opposite of that. I will. But that's not the point. Just simply stepping back and asking that question. So with the recorder, I can press record and say something like, gosh, what's going on?
Mm.
And then just wait and yes. watch. And I'm where I want to be.
Yes.
So good, isn't it?
It's so very good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Capital G,
it.
Good. Well, we are just past the top of the hour, Sherry.
Don't tell Sherry Huber. She gets really uptight when you interrupt her time on the show.
Does it seem time to hand over to Michael and Sherry?
Yes, I think so, Anna.
Yeah.
And Anna, maybe. The next time I'm here talking with you, I'll let you talk a little bit. How about that? No, Anna, don't count on it, okay? You know how I am.
I'm just the pressing record, and then we let life speak. We let intelligence just unfold.
Oh,
that's my
You're
role.
Very kind. You're very kind. She's like people have often compared me to a faucet. And it's a one-way faucet. You turn that faucet on, and it just starts spewing. It's turning it off. That's the trick. So every time Michael says, you know, and conversations on one topic at about 5 minutes. And I laugh every time because I think, there's no way I'm going to limit any conversation to 5 minutes unless somebody just cuts me off. So, what to do? All right. Thank you so much, Anna. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And with that, we will turn the show over to Michael and Sherry. Thank you, Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Anna, and thank you, Sherry, and good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Yes.
Yes.
Son of a gun.
Son of a gun. Here we are.
Here we are again.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for that lovely conversation on Zen Stories and sticking with it.
I don't want to put you on the spot to ask you if you were there. But, I hope I did it justice because, and again, it was a brilliant workshop, and I could have had that conversation about any one of the workshops that has happened in this series of workshops. I
yes.
think people are just doing an outrageously brilliant job of of presenting all of these different sort of facets of practice, and whether it's repetition or I can't remember any of the other topics, but you know what they are. And each one is just it's that same process of somebody just asks us questions or presents an exercise, something for us to look at, asks us a question, and we're here and we're receiving the wisdom and guidance of the intelligence that animates us. So it's a good deal.
Yes, what dropped in as you said that is that's the gift to me of showing up for workshops and for practice is I get these really interesting questions that I hadn't considered before, and they come in the context of a seminar or a radio show or a workshop, and so I'm there ready for that kind of inquiry.
Well, that's it, Michael. You just said it. That's it exactly. You're there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're there and you're ready. You're basically saying to authenticity, to the true nature, okay. And you're listening, right? I'm right here. I'm ready. And here it comes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know of anybody, I mean, maybe there are people, who could go through even an hour or an hour and a half workshop and at the end of it say, yeah, I didn't get anything from it. I mean, unless they slept, because they're just being in that, in the proximity. And it's what people talk about a lot with Sangha. You know, they just hear Sangha talk and they come to center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if what the person is talking about is not particularly an issue for them,
mm-hmm.
it's a process conversation. And that's what brings us to presence.
Yes. Yes. That's my experience. Precisely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got some more of those for us?
Yes, I do. I'm scrolling off the page here. We have so many opportunities here. The first of which is Reflective Listening Buddies, which is one of our most popular programs for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
There is no other support quite like it for practicing presence, with participants required to show up for themselves and another every week for 30 minutes. And a new quarter starts October 15th, and the deadline to register is this Thursday, October 1st.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yes,
so many skills with that, right? So many skills. And in fact, the person that I keep referring to this morning on the morning show was saying that was her first example. You know, I'm in this situation and something my reflective listening buddy said just dropped in. And there it is. The clarity comes with it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Is conditioning talking you out of a commitment that you really want to keep? If so, and if you would like some support, sign up for the Keeping Commitments Buddy Program, which begins October 15th. Participants will be paired with a buddy for accountability and support during this kind and compassionate training. And the deadline to register is also this Thursday, October 1st.
Oh, big day. Plus, I think it's a full moon, isn't it? Or maybe the next day is the full moon.
Mm,
so.
Yes.
Big time.
Yes. And this Sunday, October 4th, you, Sherry, will lead a virtual workshop based on what you say may be the greatest spiritual practice book ever, To Kill a Mockingbird. This workshop will explore allowing the clarity of that which is to change us and in so doing free us from egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. In preparation, Sherry, you highly recommend that those of us who would like to attend the workshop listen to a recording of the book rather than read it and practice seeing how you are every person in the book.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes. Very much looking forward to that. I am.
Mm. Yeah, you said you've been listening. or that you have listened.
Yes.
And so you know that, and you referenced Sissy Spacek's version of
yes.
it. I don't know if there's another one, but oh, to hear it with the Southern drawl is just
yes.
It just adds so much to it, doesn't it?
Yes, it's extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
It's extraordinary. And starting October 12th, a six-week conference call retreat in recording and listening training will teach six key skills of the recording and listening practice. We think you will find these calls to be fun, experiential, and transformative. And exciting group coaching opportunities also are coming up in October. Evenings with the Mentor, which starts October 14th, will support us in ending our day in loving-kindness and presence. And Learning to Love Learning, beginning October 21st, will offer training in staying with love around any learning project. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to speak with Sherry today, you can make guest show to get in the queue by pressing *6 and then 1. And as you were just talking about, Sherry, a conversation on one topic, please, and 5 minutes.
They can just hang up on me or say, "That's it, Sherry. That's enough." if they want to.
Got it. Okay, I think we are ready here, Sherry.
I think so.
Okay.
Thank you, Michael. Mm-hmm.
Sure, you're welcome. Just get my queue organized here. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, can you hear me?
Perfectly,
yes.
Who's this?
Hi, it's Frances from the UK.
Well, hello there. What's going on?
I'm really nervous about speaking. It's my first time calling, and I'm totally new to this community and to awareness practice.
Welcome on all those counts.
All those counts, thank you. So I've got some notes here just to try and keep myself on track, if that's okay. Something that I get really stuck on is what guides me, if not the voice in my head, my feelings and the motivation to feel comfortable always. I don't know who my authentic self is and how to make choices in alignment with her. And then I have a typical example for me. So I have an idea to do something. It could be as small as deciding to socialize or to set up an art workshop. And then when I actually embark on these things, I'm met with resentment, anger, and incredibly strong feelings of no. I also have physical pain that goes along with that, like exhaustion and tension headaches, and my tank feels completely empty. Then I end up giving up because the whole point was to be enjoying life more and to feel more fulfilled, yet I'm miserable.
this is where I would say, I wish we were on retreat. Okay, we're in a room and there are, 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 people or whatever. And I would say, okay, hold on just a minute. Anybody in the room able to relate to what she's saying? And every hand would go up.
Oh, gosh.
You have described the human experience perfectly. Step by step by step, you have laid out perfectly what it's like to be a conditioned human being identified with ego.
So I feel like I understand that intellectually.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of me kind of says, while it's happening, this is resistance, But...
Mm-hmm.
I guess because the whole experience of it is so painful, especially with the physical pain, I struggle so much with that. It's kind of like, what's the point? Why am I doing this?
Oh,
is this the right choice?
I can answer that one. I can answer that.
Go ahead.
Now, the point is that you get to, should you choose to, if you want to, you get to move from that experience to a level of happiness that you can't even imagine.
So does it ease up eventually? Sorry.
Pardon me?
Does it ease up eventually? Because my experience so far is just being stuck in that pain and thinking, oh my God, is this what it's like to engage in life?
I know. Yeah. And it's not. It's not. It's what it's like to engage in ego.
Okay.
Yeah. No, you haven't hit life yet. Now, I'm not saying there haven't been moments in your life when you were with life, okay, and you knew it, and you were happy, right? You've
right.
had those moments, right? You've had those times.
Yeah.
Okay, good. And so let me ask you this. How did you find us, and what's been your experience with us so far? What have you been doing, reading or listening to or?
So I'm about to turn 28, and when I was 22, my main source of anxiety was relationships, and I found an online community that helped me manage that, and there were aspects of Buddhism and awareness practice within that work, so I've kind of been doing inner work all of my 20s. But I've recently come to awareness practice through your books, Sherry, which I'm always telling everybody about because they're just so beautiful.
Good. Thank you. We need a distributor in Great Britain, so thank you for taking on that role.
That's okay. Quite all right.
So you've read enough about how we approach things.
Yes.
That clearly you're comfortable with the lingo and all of that sort of thing.
Yeah, can I get something clear in my head though? So this is probably going to sound really kind of basic level to everybody else, but am I right in saying that the point of this work is to disengage from the voice rooted in self-hate and make conscious, loving choices as if we were caring for a child or a friend. Is that the guide that I'm kind of looking for?
Yes. Yes, it is. And the language that we use for that is the mentor.
Yes.
Which is a personification of your authentic nature.
Okay.
And your authentic nature is the same. There's only one authentic nature.
Okay.
So a synonym for authentic nature is life. And we always do the capital. Some people will say God. Some people will say great spirit. Some people will say that which is. Okay. But it's everybody's pointing at the same thing. It's what is, and it is what is from which ego is able to appear to be separate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it happens for most people. Do you spend time around little kids at all? Or?
Not enough, actually. But,
you can avoid it. If we do spend time around very small, I mean, when a baby is born, the reason people get so wacky is that it's so obvious that this is, whether people would use this language or not, it's authentic nature in form. It's just...
Right.
It's untouched by all of the stuff that has happened to us. But if you raise a child or you're around children at various stages of development, you're aware of what we're talking about, you can watch them leave that authentic nature, looking to themselves for guidance, basically. You know, just like a little animal, just operating off of innate awareness, and moving more and more to looking to their head. What have they learned? What have they been told? What are the rules? What should they do? How should they feel? What's the right thing? What should they believe? What should they think? How do they please? How do they, right? And, of course, then by the time a person is, you know, by the time, well, I'm fond of saying modern psychology in the Catholic Church, as that should be accomplished by about the age of 7. And yeah. Then it's just a compounding process, right? And by the time a person gets to, in quotes, adulthood, they've gone through the stages of resisting all that early childhood stuff, to hating their parents for what their parents did to them, to usually or often choosing everything exactly the opposite of what they were raised with, because that seems different. They don't see it's just the opposite. It's yeah. just as conditioned. It's just the other side of the duality, right? And mm-hmm. then we begin the work of getting back in touch with that authenticity that is underneath all this conditioned, egocentric, we like to say, crapola.
Yeah, I guess I've started recording and listening, and I guess I've just got to persist, and persistence seems quite a strong word, actually, but yeah, just keep going with it and get to know that person, I suppose, because I can't get in touch with that at the moment, so I guess I feel a bit confused by the
language. Here's the thing that is very difficult and I want to say this, and then I want to ask you about another technique. But you are always in touch with it. You are always in touch with what you actually are. And so we'll say things like, so do you have good vision?
Yes.
Okay, so you can see things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what enables seeing is authenticity. What enables hearing? What enables feeling? The experience of being alive when you look in order to know something, when an insight drops in, when you respond, as we were talking about earlier, to a quote, when you're moved by music or by a phrase in a poem, or all of those are experiences of being in touch with, direct touch with, what animates you. We just don't recognize it for what it is.
Yeah, and I think that word recognition is key. And if you don't mind,
yeah.
I'd just like to jump on that terminology that you used when you said drop in. The wisdom drops in.
Yes.
I'm not confident I know what that is
Can I go back to an example you gave?
Oh, of course, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so you might think of it as it occurs to you to do, and what was it, an art?
Something? Yeah, and I'm an artist, and I've started running workshops, yeah.
Okay, so it occurs to you to do a workshop.
Mm-hmm.
It drops in to do a workshop. There it
okay.
is. Yeah. And then what you described again perfectly is ego coming in. No. No. You're not going with life. You're going with the program. Because that's what feeds ego. And so there's the resistance. Then it, you know, after there's enough resistance from ego, it's just exhausting. You just want to give up. I'm sorry I ever thought of it. Yeah, and so
yeah.
we give up on life, and we go with ego. That's what's happening constantly, because, as you've no doubt read, ego only appears to exist when we're giving it attention. So it's constantly striving to get your attention. What will get your attention? Negativity. Something wrong, not enough. So one of the techniques that we use a lot in this practice that you may have run into is process mapping.
I've heard that term. I'm not quite sure what it is.
Okay. Well, there's a blog that I did years ago that's on our website, and you can read it. But I'll tell you basically what's involved. And the tools are a great big piece of paper or a white wall in your house if you have one, and a bunch of post-it notes, sticky notes.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is you just begin to watch yourself. And mostly you're watching your thought process, okay? You're watching the voices, all right? So it drops in to do an art workshop, okay? So you write that on your little sticky note and you put that up there. And then what happens? Okay, well, then I feel this in my stomach, okay? You write that on a little sticky note. Then what happens? Well, then I heard a voice that said, that's going to be so much work. You write down on your sticky note, put it next. And what you're doing is beginning to chart how ego does what it does to you. And it's a pattern, and it's always the same. And the thing that is so helpful about it is that you are watching that happen from the authenticity, from the awareness, from the clarity that you're seeking.
Oh, that's comforting to hear, because I feel like I have already experienced that, and I feel capable of making that choice to step back and witness what's going on.
Yes, exactly. And because your authentic nature is awareness.
Okay.
And so everything in practice is supporting that. People get so twisted up because we're conditioned to, right? The self-hate, well, but you weren't aware then. Well, but you weren't paying attention then. Well, that's not the point. But it takes us a while to work through all of that nonsense in order to get to, yeah, all I'm practicing is awareness. And if I'm aware of something, if I'm aware of the voices of self-hate, good. Good. Mm-hmm. I'm in awareness. The content of the awareness doesn't matter. That's all we're practicing. Okay? And so I just got a text that reminded me that not only is there the blog, but there's also a recording one of our facilitators did on process mapping. So that will be a good support for you. So the two things before we go, two things. One, stay close to practice. Okay? And just don't quit. Just don't give up.
No, I can't.
Discourage, of course. Ego, ego specializes in that. But just go, well, you know, I was aware of that. That happened. I saw that. I heard that. Yeah. Put it on your map.
Will do. Thank you so, so much.
You
it's been
are
great
so,
to
so
talk
welcome.
To you.
Don't be a stranger now. You've done this once. We've talked. We've got that sorted out. So we can meet again.
Oh, thank you, Sherry. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
Look forward to listening to what everybody else has to say.
Good. Good. Yeah. All right. Take good care of yourself.
Okay. Thank you. Good night.
All right. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Frances. And Sherry, I love that conversation, just the exploration and seeking guidance and expanding awareness. And it's great. It's sticking with it, as you said.
Yeah, sticking with it and realizing we are not alone. You know, we're not alone, and not only are we not alone, then this is something that ego just really despises, but we're not even unique.
Right.
You know, we won't become unique until we get all this ego stuff cleared away. Because ego is just so predictable and so cookie cutter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's when we get through with that that we start getting a sense of the unique expression of life that is there to be expressed.
Yes, 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 exactly. It's that beautiful Zen paradox of we're all the same, we're all exactly the same, and we have a unique expression of life that each of us is.
Yeah, to offer.
To offer, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Did we go past 5 minutes, Michael?
Only fractionally.
Just a little bit.
Okay, so we are going to hear from our sponsor, Sherry, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
All right, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Jill in Philadelphia.
Well, hello, Jill.
Hello,
what's
Sherry. Well, I've laughed so much during this call and just had that experience of presence during it. I dare to say.
Uh-huh.
And so
well,
it's
good.
Been very enjoyable. And I guess I mostly called in, you know, I had kind of an interesting day today. I had just some really, talk about how it's coming to me now, but just, I guess the phrase like dark moments is coming to me today. And I mean, I've also had like really incredible moments today, so that wasn't my whole experience. But these moments did remind me of years and years and years ago before I started practice. I mean, it was really like intense. But the quality of them was like, it had this empty quality to it that felt very, I don't know. It was just, I was surprised at how different it felt, even though it felt sort of like the same thing. I don't know if that makes sense. Go ahead.
Well, I was just curious if it, I mean, I could go to a lot of places with that. It's like something that used to be scary, and so something happens, and there's kind of a jolt of fear that goes through, and then you realize, yeah, but I'm not actually afraid of that. It's almost like a memory, or kind of, they talk about muscle memory. You know, that sort of, you know, there's a loud sound and you jump, but you're not really afraid, kind of that sort of.
Yep.
Everything is the same, but you're so different.
Yeah, that's really funny, because last night I saw something that I looked like a person in my house and I jumped.
Uh-huh.
It was exactly what you're describing. And today it was, you know, there were tears coming, and it was very, you know, there was a story, it was very strong, and, you know, I had some, you know, there felt like this strong urge for compulsion was coming back, or that it dropped in a way that felt, you know, rather than in this other place, and like the very, I don't know, it felt very strong. I don't know, it was so weird. It was this, or not, weird is not a good word, but it just kind of like felt, yeah, and like, there it is, you know, there it is. And then it just blew away, and I got this like text chain from like 7 of my closest buddies, and they're all joking around about this one thing, and all of a sudden I was like completely, it was completely a million miles away, that experience. And you know, I was laughing and like engaging with them, and then suddenly this other thing entered, you know, into my day. And I mean, it was just like the whole, I just felt like I did a whole spectrum today of like these experiences. And,
you know, Jill, I don't know if this is true, but I'm going to ask you about it, okay? It's, you know how we kid about the times when conditioning is really off?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it says something that is so completely inappropriate that you see it for what it is.
Mm.
If its timing had been better for it, you know, it probably would have thrown you into a state. But it was so off that it's just obviously weird. And we get to see it as that. And that kind of sounds like what you're describing, that it's trying to get you, but its methods, they would have worked maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, they would have had a chance.
Mm.
But now they're just really out of step.
Mm.
And so, to go into it for just a little moment and then be able, you know, maybe back in the day, you would have gotten into a story about it. You would have gotten identified. You would have had all this emotion with it. It would have been really real. But now you're able, so you get your text from your buddies, and that conditioning has no hold on you. It hasn't actually landed anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of sort of like it?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, it you know, there was emotion there, like I was crying, and so it just felt like I was walking along, and suddenly I dropped into this huge crevasse. And then somehow I've like floated up, like got back on where I was walking and just kept walking. You know, it was very whereas exactly like what you're saying, in the past I would have just been stuck there. I would not have known how to get out.
You wouldn't even have looked at your phone. You would. I don't know if they had text back then, but you wouldn't have. You know, ego wouldn't have let you do anything that would have helped you disidentify.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? It would have just kept you in that story and made it worse and worse and worse and worse for as long as it could make you miserable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there were so many amazing things that happened today, practice-wise, that, you know, when I pushed, like, get in the queue button, I thought, you know what, you know, maybe we shouldn't talk too much about the condition. You know, it's like... thing that happened that seemed to, you know, that was like sort of the dark thing, because then that, I don't know, just the whole day was just one of those great, amazing practice days where all of this, all of this stuff happened. And it just felt like practice, and it didn't feel like, I didn't reach for anything. I wasn't like trying to change how I was feeling. I didn't do like, you know, whatever. It just kind of like kept flowing through
it
me
needed,
and changing. Say that again.
Didn't need a donut.
I didn't need a donut.
Yeah. Yeah. And it sort of speaks to what we were talking about with Francis, right? That this stuff still goes on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just our relationship with it is so different.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't control us any longer.
Mm-hmm.
It's still there. Ego's still gonna, on the morning show with a gal talking about her own little private devil, you know, that's right there ready to pounce. it's gonna stay there. But our relationship with it is so different. It's just, as you say, it just doesn't have the same reality, the same pull.
Yeah.
And it happens, in fact, the way you're describing, in a context of all of this amazing insight and joy and laughter and fun and all the other things that happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wonder, awe, all of those things. And that can happen within that, and that's okay too, you know? It just felt very...
it's okay too.
Yeah.
It's illuminating.
It's illuminating, yeah. Yeah, it mm-hmm. felt like, yeah, just something to see and experience. But anyway, it did kind of throw me a little bit.
Not much, though.
Not much.
Right?
Yeah, good
I mean,
point.
That's the takeaway. Yeah, it threw you for either seconds or maybe minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's allowed.
I know. I guess it did. Yeah. I guess it threw me in the way of like, wow, this is a whole new planet I'm on right now. And let's see what's here. Yeah, it was really kind of remarkable.
And Jill, the place that I go with that is, it's really helpful. So Francis was asking, you know, does it get better?
Mm-hmm.
And decidedly it gets better. But we don't ever want to be out of touch with how bad it can be.
Yeah.
Right? We don't ever want to forget that, because if we do, it's easy to lose compassion.
Yeah, I had, you know, I have friends who have struggles with depression, and that's never been my thing for me, but that's what it felt like today. And also I'm on, you know, I'm post cancer treatment, so I'm on this medication now to help, so that can be a side effect. So I have this other thing going on with it, where it's like, okay, well, maybe this is some sort of side effect of that. But yeah, anyway, I felt so much, I really got to experience that. I feel like what it feels like to have like just that overwhelming darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And what it suggests, what conditioning then suggests as solutions.
And what you also got to experience, I'm going to project, is a place of, you know, it really doesn't matter what happens to her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on her side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I was thinking too about the Zen Story Workshop, which was just absolutely unbelievable. And my favorite one was, you know, think of a time when you can see through someone's conditioning to their authentic nature. And I was thinking about that today for myself, you know, when I was experiencing that. And it was really powerful
mm-hmm.
that she's in, you know, she's in there.
That's
don't forget
right.
her.
That's right. That's right. Don't yeah. Don't. We never want to leave anybody behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 We want to take everybody
yeah.
with us, right? That's the old Bodhisattva thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I have so many examples of that too. Anyway, well, it feels
yeah.
really nice to hear your voice, and I appreciate so much everything that the Sangha is doing to keep us all connected, and it's really helpful. And
yeah.
I'm happy
I
to
appreciate
participate
it too.
In it. Yeah, and I'm
yeah.
looking forward to the killing of To Kill a Mockingbird. I've been listening to it, and I'm really looking forward to that. So.
Oh, good. Yeah, I am too. I think it's going to be. I hope it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think
yeah.
so too.
All right. Well, you keep taking care of her, huh?
Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you, Jill.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jill. Yeah, another great conversation, Sherry. And I especially appreciated talking about the karma that comes up, that has always come up, and yet I have a different relationship with it now. And I remember, mm-hmm. oh, yeah. I'm not scared of that anymore.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And with that, I know it's sometimes confusing for people when I say what I just said to Jill, you know, take good care of her or don't forget her or that sort of thing. That we don't want to, you know, the person. So you're not afraid of that any longer. And if it turns out something is scary for him at whatever point, you're going to help him through it.
Yes.
Right? Because you're going to be that conscious, compassionate awareness that can help a human being through anything.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
how beautiful, how perfect that we have a human being that we know so very intimately and know the goodness of, that we can assist to out of all of the karmic conditioning, all of the ego suffering and torture, and into the light. That's what we get to do.
Yes, which reminds me always of what you say, that it's possible to end suffering in this lifetime,
yes.
which is just
yeah.
an extraordinary statement and an extraordinary reality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, Michael, to know that,
mm-hmm.
right? Not to have it as a, gee, I hope that that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But for my own experience tells me that, yes, that's not mm-hmm. just a possibility. It is a probability.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Kim calling from Vashon.
Hi, Kim.
Well, hello, Kim. What are you seeing?
Oh, I'm seeing a lot. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this whole thing about taking things personally and kind of the karma in that, and what I'm seeing. It's also connected to this month of loving,
mm-hmm.
in which you guided me to unconditional love for how do
the
I
human
say?
Being we
the
call
human
Kim.
Being thank you the human being called Kim. So I had a sticky situation come up where my partner wanted to use something of mine that there was a boundary associated with it, and I said, I have a boundary here, and you can't use this. And they got really mad, and it hearkened me back to a time when they had a boundary, and I had taken it really personally, because it really felt personal. It was 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had this insight in this moment, I think, I mean, there were so many swirling voices that, first of all, I took it really personally 5 years ago when he exerted the boundary, you know, for me. And now I'm seeing, there was this, like, seeing that it wasn't about me at all. It was about his comfort, and he would have exerted that boundary with anyone in the same circumstance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not wanting to justify my action in this situation, but it was sort of like, this is not about him. It's more about exerting this boundary in which that I wouldn't allow anyone to step over. And the thing, I guess, that's tricky is that there's a voice that comes in that says, well, you're not the right spiritual person if you're not willing to just share everything, you know, unconditionally.
Well, that's ego. So
right.
We don't have to give that any credence. So, I mean, yes, earlier we were talking with Francis, you know, if you're doing a process map, you want to put that on the process map, but you certainly don't have to believe it.
Right. And so, like, I guess what I got to was that the person called Kim was having a hard time, and so that's mm-hmm. the place. That's the place. That's the practice place, right there.
Mhm. 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 Yeah. And the voice is saying, "Well, to her, this gets a little schizophrenic,
pronoun.
But yeah, saying to her, well, if you were the right spiritual person, you wouldn't be doing this. You would be happy to share everything with everybody, right?"
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and that's where you pick up the recorder. So she says, you know, but I don't want to. I don't want to share this. Mm-hmm. And you have the opportunity to say to her, well, that's okay. That's all right. And as you go along, and you can say this or not, but this is where it's headed, you know, and we're going to work on that. Because what's at stake here is that person in her conditioning, in her traumatic past or whatever, has grown to believe that she is somehow unsafe and needs to be protected.
Yes. Yes.
That's why she needs boundaries, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
it's not that the point is that she shares everything that she has or gives it all away. That's not the point. The mm-hmm. point is that she feels completely safe and secure, regardless of circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're going to help her with. And it's not going to help her feel safe and secure if you join the bandwagon that says, well, if you're the right spiritual person, you'd give it away. Or, okay, well, I'm going to prove I'm the right spiritual person. I'm just going to let him have what he wants. You know, that doesn't take us where we want to go. And with that, Kim, it's possible to say to him, whether he understands it or not, you know, this really isn't about you. I know that's probably really hard to see, but this is about me. And probably over time, I'll be in a different place with this. But right now, this is where I am. And so this is the choice that I need to make for me.
I did say that, and it didn't go over very well.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. And, you know, we can understand right. that, and we can mm-hmm. sympathize with that, right?
Yes. Yes.
Because he wants yes. what he wants, and he's not getting what he wants. And we all know that place. Right? Mm-hmm. We don't have to judge him for that. We just go, mm-hmm. yeah, you know, mm-hmm. You're upset. I don't blame you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you want to say it, but 5 years ago our roles were reversed, and mm-hmm. I felt exactly the way you feel. So, yep, I get it.
I did. And because there was this huge understanding, but I didn't want it to come from a place of, like, justifying my actions now. But mm-hmm. it wasn't that. It was like, he felt unsafe. And I get it, you know?
Yes, yes, yes.
And I felt yes. really that it was wrong. That was wrong. I felt it was so wrong of him to feel that way. Like, how could you not trust me, blah, blah, blah. You know, all the stories,
That's
all
right.
the ego stories swooped in. But,
That's right.
yeah. So it just, yes.
And Kim, you know, step back in the way you are. How can mm-hmm. you not trust me?
Mm-hmm.
And what we get to see in that kind of insight that you had is, well, of course he couldn't trust me. That's completely coming from ego.
Yeah.
He'd have been a fool to trust me. I wasn't trustworthy.
Right.
Okay. Then that's not with self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
Just with clarity. I see that. Oh, I get that. Mm-hmm. Well, of course. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important spiritually, because, you know, when we say ego is something wrong or not enough, and mm-hmm. we are moving through and past ego into there's nothing wrong and there's nothing lacking, right? And so in that perspective, how everybody is just fine. Because everybody is where they are, and everybody's having the experience they're having, and they're in the very best place that they could possibly be to have the experiences that they need to have to move into complete union with authenticity.
Oh, that's so helpful. You know, ego comes back with, well, it should be happening faster.
Yeah,
know?
Well.
You need to, like, get over
say,
it,
well,
Kim.
Good,
get
ego.
Over it.
Yeah. And ego, if you want it to happen faster, go away.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so
then
helpful.
Then it will happen oh, really quickly.
Yeah.
And,
I just,
you know, again, Kim, spiritually, we don't want it to happen any faster.
Right.
We actually don't want to miss a single twist or turn on this exciting path, because we want to see it all.
Oh.
And we want to be free of every single thing that ego could ever do to us.
Yeah. Wow. It's so perfect. Like,
it really is.
So helpful.
And in with the insight that you've had, I mean, you wouldn't trade any of this, would you?
Well, not right now.
That's
I mean,
right.
Now, when but back maybe yeah. 5 years ago, I might have, like, you know, not knowing, coming
absolutely.
From that ego-identified place, right?
Yes. But what I'm saying is, you came from that place. Boop, 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 boop. Here we are forward. You've been practicing. You've been training. You're offered another situation that's very similar, only reversed.
Mm-hmm.
And look at what you've seen, and look at what you've realized.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's what awareness practice is for us, because life is always offering us those moments of incredible light, and we're training to be present for it.
Just seeing so much, it just like was a huge thunderbolt. Well, thank you so much.
You are
so incredibly
welcome.
Helpful.
Good.
Yeah. I have to say, I'm so excited about Sunday because I did not read To Kill a Mockingbird until I was in my 30s. And when I read it 3 times in a row at that time. And now, 25 years later, I just read it once this month and listened to it with Sissy Spacek reading it. And it was just phenomenal. So I can't wait.
Yeah, well, that's the right timing. You know, I guess everybody but you, Kim, read
yeah.
it in high school, right?
Everybody
when it just
me.
Goes right over your head, right? But to read it in your 30s and then to do it again these few years after that, as you're doing now, what a different experience. Yeah.
And it's so relevant.
Good.
So thank you so much. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah. Thank you, Kim.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Go happy. Bye-bye.
Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Kim. Another great conversation, Sherry. And we are 3 minutes to the hour here.
Yeah, I don't think so. Do you, Michael? Not with my time frame tonight. I think we'd be at 6:30 by the time I got unwound.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Well, it was a fabulous show, Sherry. Some fabulous conversations. And I'm really grateful to be
That's
a part of it.
That's all we ask, right?
Right.
That's
right.
All we ask, yeah.
Yeah, so thanks to all of our callers and all of our listeners and good news and you, Sherry.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. Thank you, as always.
You're
so
welcome.
I appreciate your commitment and tenacity and willingness and everything that you bring to this. It's really appreciated.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Sherry.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.